Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. Now, I should be dipping into the world of Edwardian music hall, or Edwardian musicals anyway, during the programme, and there'll be a little bit of Percy Grainger, a couple of pieces I don't think I've played before, and one of my favourite outdoor pieces by the Scottish composer Hamish McCann. I wonder if you can imagine what that might be. That's coming up later on in the programme. We've also got a harp piece, I see, and a bit of Edward German as well. So, a fun-filled hour. Well, I hope so, anyway. First of all, the music of Lionel Monckton, one of the great composers of musical theatre in the Edwardian era, which was actually a very short period, sort of 1901 to about 1910. It wasn't a very long period, the so-called Edwardian age, but it certainly seemed to have been. Anyway, Lionel Monckton, famous, of course, for the Arcadians, 1909, but I'm going to play Soldiers in the Park, a little march from a play called A Runaway Girl, written in 1898.
Thank you.
Lionel Monckton's March, Soldiers in the Park, from the 1898 musical play A Runaway Girl. I was thinking they're not unlike the marches of John Philip Sousa. In fact, it was the age of Sousa. Most of Sousa's famous marches were written around this period. In fact, Sousa came here to the Isle of Man and gave a wonderful concert. It was a real eye-opener to all the bands and the musicians here. Of course, I hadn't seen anything like this highly polished American ensemble, and they're very energetic and interesting, characterful conductor himself. That march, of course, it has a lyricism which is not typical of the American march king, but nevertheless, it's very much of that period. Music of Percy Grainger, who I turn to quite often, firstly because I think his music is enormously attractive, although most of his really longer, more challenging pieces are really beyond the scope of this programme. But I do like to dip in to the shorter pieces. I'm going to play two. The first is called Bell Piece, and he called it a ramble on John Dowland's Now, Oh Now I Needs Must Part. John Dowland, of course, was the great Renaissance writer of songs and much else as well. Most of them quite sorrowful. I don't quite know what sort of chap John Dowland actually was. I just don't think we know. There's no way of knowing. But he certainly wrote a lot of sorrowful songs. So here's a bell piece based on one of Dowland's most moving songs. No.
Thank you.
a fascinating piece by Percy Grainger, Bell Piece, which he called a ramble on John Dowland's beautiful song Now, Oh Now I Needs Must Part. Typical of Grainger, I mean, it starts off as one thing and ends off as something else, gets quite sort of full-blooded at one point, doesn't it? And, well, extraordinary piece. Something less extraordinary by Grainger, but also very typical, this is his walking tune. He called it Music Room Titbits Number 3, and it was inspired by a tramp he made in Argyllshire in Scotland around 1900. One of the first people to hear this piece spoke of its outdoor quality. Well, I won't disagree with that. Percy Grainger's walking tune. Another charming piece by Percy Grainger. That was the walking tune, one of his music room titbits. That was number 3. I'll have to try and look out numbers 1 and 2, or maybe there are more of them. He was certainly very keen that his music could be played in sort of any domestic situation, which is one of the reasons why many of his most famous pieces exist in several different versions. Unfortunately, some of them, as I say, start off as one thing that could be played on a very small ensemble, but by the end of it, you have an enormous amount of percussion and a huge brass section dragged in, which for most orchestras makes them simply impossible to programme. But a fascinating composer. He's one of the few composers I'd have liked to have gone to the pub with and had a pint. But there you go. Now, a rather wonderful thing has happened. Within the last 10 minutes, I popped downstairs between programmes just to have a chat to the usual crew and so on and so forth. And there was an envelope for me in a pigeonhole. It's a pigeonhole I virtually never look at because I don't really expect to get fan mail or anything like that. But there was a lovely card inside the envelope from Charente-Maritime in France. It's unsigned, except a very grateful listener. Well, I'm always pleased to hear from very grateful listeners. I won't read it all, but this person who obviously visits the Isle of Man, but lives in France, possibly, had heard that I'd been undergoing some treatment at Noble's Hospital over the last couple of years, and just wishing me well, which is very kind, very sweet of you, whoever you are. She says, I often listen to the show, and she enjoys the music and the little commentaries that I do. It's a lovely card. I'm so grateful to receive it. But I don't want to make a big thing of this, but just last week, I did come to the end of a series of treatments, and so far, things are looking very good. I don't have to sort of go back to the hospital for any more investigations now for another 6 months. So that's prognosis is looking very good. And throughout everything, I've actually felt very well, except for the, I think, 3 occasions I was actually in hospital having operations. The person says that they hoped I was being very well looked after, and I was very well looked after indeed. And in fact, I did play a piece on this programme probably a month or so ago, especially for one of the nurses that particularly looked after me during a period of 6 rather special treatments. So enough of that, but it was lovely to get the card. I hope you're listening. I'm very grateful and very touched. Next week, although I don't know what your musical tastes are, of course, but I will play a special piece for you. Thank you so much. Now, let us return to the Edwardian age and to the music of Lionel Monckton. This is one of his best-known songs, The Pipes of Pan from the Arcadians, a smash-hit musical of 1909. It's sung for us this evening by Marilyn Hill Smith, who for many years was the star of Friday Night's Music Night. Lionel Monckton, The Pipes of Pan.
Hark, the pipes of Pan are calling with a merry lilt and swing. Hear their joyous caroling, flowing, growing, rising, falling. Youth and joy must have their fling when the pipes of Pan are calling. Oh, the pipes of Pan. So
Pipes of Pan from the Arcadians by Lionel Monckton. Now, when I was listening to that lovely voice of Marilyn Hill Smith, I mean, who could do this kind of repertoire better? But I was reminded of a concert with the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra. It could be 10 years ago, I'm afraid to say. And it was a mixed programme of light music, and we performed that song with our own Karen Elliott. And it struck me that, Karen sang it beautifully, very much in that kind of style. And I was very much reminded of Karen's voice listening there to Marilyn Hill Smith. And it was a lovely concert. And Karen, of course, is a wonderful musician to work with. She doesn't waste a single second of time in rehearsal, and is very, very generous in her praise of the orchestra and so on. A wonderful person to work with. So a little reminder there. I suddenly thought, yes, of course, I know this tune. Why do I know this tune so well? Karen's voice came into my head. So, and now we go to the music of Hamish McCann, and of course his most famous piece, The Land of the Mountain and the Flood, a sort of an evocation of the Scottish Highlands. He was born in 1868, died in 1916, rather before his time, I think. So he was a composer of the Victorian, the Edwardian and the sort of Georgian age as well. He was the son of a ship owner. He studied at the Royal College of Music. But after writing a handful of pieces, including this piece, which he wrote when he was only 19 years old, and is a very assured piece, he virtually stopped composing and devoted his career to conducting. And he gave the first performance in English of Wagner's Tristan and Isolde. So, quite an interesting chap. So here we have Hamish McCann, The Land of the Mountain and the Flood. And some of you who have attained my great age might remember a television programme from, what, the 60s, 70s, Sutherland's Law. And this is what made this particular piece so popular. Thank you. The Land of the Mountain and the Flood by Hamish McCann. Now, I have heard another piece by him, though I can't remember for the life of me what it was called. Another sort of orchestral concert piece, a tone poem, if you like. I'll try and look it out. And some other music by him, although he didn't write very much. I hesitate to label him a sort of a one-tune composer, but I doubt if he ever wrote a more glorious tune than the one that comes so memorably in that piece. A very, technically, a very assured piece. Works very, very well. We did play it with the Symphony Orchestra, it's probably 20 years ago now, I seem to remember, at Castle Russian High School, of all places. And as a concert venue we don't go to now very often, if at all. Had a rather low ceiling, I seem to remember, which made the music rather powerful. But I think it was the last time I actually conducted that piece. Went very well, and the orchestra enjoyed it. I will find out a little bit more about Hamish McCann and see if we can find another piece for our later programme. Something a bit more calming now, without rushing about with floods and whatever. Ina Boyle, not a composer you will be familiar with, Irish-born, pupil of Vaughan Williams at the Royal College of Music, but she spent most of her life in County Wicklow. She didn't travel very much. I can find very little reference to her in concert programmes at all. She wrote three symphonies, no less, and a violin concerto, so I shall certainly be looking out those for a later programme. This is a rhapsody that she wrote in 1919 called The Magic Harp, and you won't be surprised that it features a beautiful harp solo. The music of Ina Boyle. Thank you. An attractive piece that, featuring the harp. That was the Rhapsody of 1919, the Magic Harp by Ina Boyle. I don't think we've ever had any music by Ina Boyle in this series before. I may be mistaken, but I'll certainly be looking out to find other pieces by her that we can use. So we return to the Edwardian era and the music of Herman Finck, born von der Vink. He was the son of Dutch immigrants, but he, for a long time he was the conductor of the orchestra at the Palace Theatre in London, and he wrote quite a lot of music for their dancers, the so-called Palace Girls, famous for their saucy routines. The most famous thing he wrote for them was a skipping rope dance, which was considered very saucy indeed. In the same way, I suppose, that the songs of Marie Lloyd were once considered to be very risque, although, to be fair, it wasn't really the words of the songs, which were often quite innocent. It was the way that she sang them, of course, with lots of winks of the eyes, slightly suggestive gestures, and an occasional lifting of her skirt above the ankle. She was quite notorious, and probably justifiably so, a great music hall star. So this fits in very well with that kind of thing. This is a piece called In the Shadows by Herman Finck.
Thank you.
charming piece there, In the Shadows, by Herman Finck. It seems to sum up the Edwardian period, doesn't it, really? The age of upstairs, downstairs, that kind of thing. That brings us to the end of the programme. Can you believe it? Where has the hour gone? And so we need someone to play us out with, and I think I have the perfect piece of music here. I hope you'll join me next Thursday at 9, and there'll be some more light music for sure. I shall try and find out a little bit more about Hamish McCann and Ina Boyle, see if I can come across some discs of their music, because it's quite possible that I have pieces of them in my CD collection, which is quite large, really. It's far too large for me to even listen to a fraction of it, really. But tucked away there somewhere, it wouldn't surprise me if there was something, certainly by Hamish McCann. I'll look it out. So, to play us out with, what should we have? Charles Ancliffe. This is a concert waltz, Nights of Gladness. Now, Ancliffe was an Irish bandmaster who served in India with the Welsh Borderers. Well, he got around, didn't he? And on his return from India in 1912, he wrote this concert waltz and then wrote many more. Nights of Gladness by Charles Ancliffe. Please join me next Thursday at 9. Goodbye.